Brothers and sisters in Christ, I remember that when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I used to lay on the sofa in our living room with my feet up on the cushion where my head should have been and my head down hanging over the edge of the seat where my feet should have been. I laid upside down like that for hours. Well, not for hours, that would be insane. For as long as I could, and imagined that it was not me, but the rest of the world that had flipped upside down. From that position, it looked like the coffee table, our TV, and my mother's piano were stuck inexplicably to the ceiling. Sometimes my sister would walk through on her way to the kitchen, and I would watch intently, expecting her to fall at each gravity-defying step, only to have her turn it and look at me as if I was the one acting strange. And if I laid there long enough, I could almost convince myself that the world really had flipped upside down. I even felt an uneasiness in my gut that if I let go of the sofa cushions, I would fall and crash into the ceiling light below me. Now, as easy as it was for me to imagine that the world had flipped upside down, it is even easier still, if not our normal condition, to view the world upside down spiritually and believe that what we're seeing is right side up. In our scripture reading from Isaiah, God addresses his people saying this: "Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made say of his maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" See, humanity's sinful instinct is to become independent from God. In the ancient world, nations forged idols, believing an upside-down fantasy in which they thought they had power and influence over their false gods through ritual and sacrifice. Israel, too, decided again and again that it knew better than God. In their attempt to create a great and glorious kingdom, Israel's kings turned away from God and put their trust in the strength of foreign nations. Instead of trusting their God who had parted the Red Sea and rescued them from Egypt, the same God who gives sons to old men and to barren women, and who toppled the walls of Jericho, instead of that God, Israel put their faith in foreign armies and false gods. And even as they sacrificed in the temple, giving the outward appearance of devotion, they did not trust their Creator to protect them. They saw the mighty men of invading armies. Fear overtook their hearts, and their worlds flipped upside down. Now, society throughout the ages has taught us to see strength in terms of success, in money, independence, and popularity. As members of God's family, even if we are stalwart in His Word, there are moments and areas of our lives in which we may not even realize that we have twisted our sight upside down. See, we are upside down when it sounds like too much effort to love someone on the peripheral. When we think we don't need to go to church because we're doing just fine on our own. When we only evangelize to the people that we like. When we are unwilling to bless others with our money because it's ours. And when we hold back our forgiveness because so-and-so doesn't deserve it yet. Just like the Pharisees in Mark's gospel today, it is easy to fall into the trap of focusing so closely on our own holiness that we praise ourselves for not being like this hypocrite over here or that sinner over there. We forget that nothing in us is holy except what we get from Jesus. We put on airs inwardly and outwardly because we know better or look better or act better than other people. We are all saved by God's grace. We know this. But surely we must deserve it at least a little more than that guy. God owes us that much, right? No. God does not want us living in these upside-down worlds. In fact, The whole story of Israel and the church, which are united in Jesus, is about God turning things right side up again. The hard part is that before we can see the world rightly, God first has to destroy our upside-down fantasy. In Isaiah, God does this for Israel by performing wonder upon wonder among his people. In the Old Testament, the word for wonder often refers to God's mighty deeds, like the splitting of the Red Sea or his constant authority over the winds and the waves. And as you've been learning over the past year, God's will is that we are saved and have eternal life. But sometimes his methods, these wonders, don't seem very helpful. It can feel like God is tearing us down instead of building us up. The perfect example comes from the book of Isaiah, in which God sent Assyria as the tool of his judgment upon his people, the people who had discarded him. All of their self-confidence and self-righteousness was destroyed thanks to the Assyrians. Israel was not strong enough to protect itself, and what strength they thought they had was taken away completely. The cities were pillaged and plundered. The people were carried off into exile. They wouldn't humble themselves, so God had Assyria do it for them. But then God performed another wonder. He promised restoration. And indeed, thanks to his servant, the Persian king Cyrus, the remnant of Israel was sent home. Israel no longer had any doubt that their fate was not in their hands, but in God's hands. And having learned this, God rescued them. Sometimes we need to suffer a little to begin to shake us out of our upside-down fantasies and turn us right side up again. It's usually not as harsh as being invaded by a Syrian army and being thrown into exile, but it does hurt. Sometimes it's simply the prick in our conscience when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we realize that we haven't loved our friends, our family, and our neighbors the way that we know we should. Other times, our sinful actions have consequences that shake our lives, our relationships, and our confidence. And occasionally, it seems like our lives are torn apart for no reason whatsoever. But because of Jesus, we know God's will for our lives, that we are saved by the wonder he performed on the cross, and joined to him in his suffering, so that we can share in new life for all eternity. Now, as hard as it sounds, and as upside down as it seems, when we feel shaken, and it seems like God isn't on our side, his Holy Spirit within us calls us back to God's word, to remember our baptism as the mark that we belong to God's family, and to the Lord's Supper, in which we receive Christ's gift of forgiveness, bought in his own suffering. In those moments when God seems cold and distant, Jesus walks along with us, assuring us of his love. And as the church, we walk along with one another, giving comfort and care amid suffering, because Jesus has already done that for us. Now, in the passage in Isaiah, it ends with this prophecy, that the deaf will hear and the blind will see. The meek will find joy in the Lord, and the poor shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. That Holy One of Israel is ultimately Jesus, whose Spirit daily resides in our hearts, doing wonders and flipping us right side up again. So that when the world seems upside down and crashes around us, we can have hope, peace, and eternal life with him. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.